الحمد لله الحمد لله عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنة عرشه ومداد كلماته ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة ادفع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينك وبينه عداوة كأنه ولي حميم وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه هو السميع العليم ومن آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر واسجدوا لله الذي خلقهن إن كنتم إياه تعبدون صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أما بعد Yesterday we covered one part of the purification of the mind, the root leading to sin, and as we mentioned that this forms the outer shell of the plane. The seven doors are the organs of your organs, and the body of the plane is your mind. But can you see this light or this here around the plane which can affect the plane? You see, on here it is not. If you look carefully, here it is. And you see the difference there? This is sometime to the planes happen as well, that they become frost comes upon them and they are standing and they have to be delayed. They can't fly now. They have to be delayed. They say we are defrosting, so they will bring some special vehicles, special fluid, who will get rid of the ice or whatever is there on the plane, because it cannot fly. If it fly with it, it's very dangerous. So it has to be defrosted. If many are, maybe you have experienced this or not. But if it does happen, they will delay the plane, they say, from the time, and they say because of the frost or something on the plane, we cannot fly. So this is showing that some people, they mashallah have the body and the seven organs, but what's happening is that there is something else on the plane which is not around the plane, which is not letting them actually fly. And what is that? What it says here, the whispers of shaitan and nafs. As so, the body of the plane outer shell represents the second stage, which is the mind. It is outer shell which protects the inside of the plane from the rain and storms and whispers of shaitan. So the mind sometimes is still there, but whispers, thoughts, shaitan try to impose his false images of attraction of dunya and all these things, and they are on the plane. I mean, it can't. The rain and the storm and whispers of shaitan are like that, meaning they do affect. So, as we discussed yesterday, the purification of the mind, how the sin develops. If it cannot develop, it cannot be conceived, the thought is not conceived, it will never, actually a person will never commit it. It's like inception of baby in the womb of mother. If the fertilization and inception does not take place, there will be no pregnancy, there will be no fetus, there will be no baby. The baby only comes to existence after fertilization. Although the two fluids of the mother and father are there, but no fertilization, no baby. So that's why many people who are married, and they are married for years and years, they can't have children, although they say there's something wrong with their fluids, or there's deficiency, or the fertilization in the egg doesn't take place. If it doesn't take place, although it is there, both things, the egg and the sperm is there, but still no fertilization. Similarly, if shaitan is sending waswasa like sperms in your mind, and the nafs is like the egg which actually conceives, the nafs is yourself, and shaitan sending waswasa like the sperm, the nafs is like the female, meaning it is conceived, it entertains. If it doesn't fertilize, no baby, no, meaning no sin, that action is not going to come into existence. So it doesn't matter how many, there are millions or thousands of sperms, even if no one is fertilized, finish, no, there is no danger. Similarly, if thousands and millions vasvasa come in the womb of your mind, shaitan is putting, the nafs is there as well, but if you don't let it fertilize, like I said, interrupt it somewhere, break the chain, because the thought, as we last time also I mentioned, is made up of four things. The thought, let me tell you, the thought is made of four things. What is it? For example, let's say so and so is a worthless person. So this is like a statement, a thought. So and so, for example, Zaid or Bakr is a worthless person. Now this will have four components to this statement or this thought. Because sometimes just on the basis of opinion, zan, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, people just actually carry on and they complete. Fertilization takes place. When you entertain the waswasa, it's as though the sperm has fertilized the egg. Finish. Now the sin will born. Sometimes actually miscarriages happen, but not all the time. So sometimes people, after this, they can control as well, and the waswasa and the thought of the sin goes away. But you know. So Bakr is a worthless person. So there are four things. One is the subject in it, a visualization of subject, which is Bakar, for example. That he, Bakar is the subject. Worthless person is the predicate, is the what the person is giving the quality, the good or bad quality to the person, the statement. So you are saying Bakar, worthless. These are two things. And the third is. Is is the word that affirms the link between the subject and that quality or that bad opinion. Is. Yes. If Bakar, worthless, is not there, still the is not complete. And then the fourth thing is the belief that this affirmation or this is, yani I believe it is the conviction or confirmation that the it is true. This is fourth thing. Then a thought comes into existence. Yes, Bakar is a worthless person. But this will just come in you. Now, this is the thought broke into four parts. And if you can interrupt it somewhere, it doesn't complete. For example, if you don't believe your statement is true, it is just a zan. Finish. If you don't believe in the is, still it's finished. So the art of thought control, one of these, to recognize what is the thought made of. Thoughts have components, they have ingredients and parts. It's like the, as I gave you an example yesterday, the wires which are connected, the your internet, it have parts, it have a modem, it has a wire connected to your house, then actually the computer is connected to the modem, etc. If anyone is interrupted, anything from there, finish, the connection won't be there. Otherwise, yes, then you need to, meaning be careful. So that's what I mentioned to you yesterday, that your line of defense is interruption in the thought process. Because in that, if you let that happen, then you are on a dangerous ground, then you will commit the sin most likely. Then you can't come back very easily. You will be on the point of no return. That is why the Sharia has helped us by saying that abstain from the sins of the organs, that don't look at things, don't hear, because they will lead you. Because seeing and hearing, they lead to a certain thoughts. And then a person is thinking, shaitan is making, and eventually they will actually commit sin. So yesterday someone asked a question as well, that why we don't do purification of the mind first and the heart, rather than actually in the second stage. The thing is that in the first stage also you are doing purification of the mind, but in a subtle way. Let's say we say that don't use the sheet of the tongue. Firstly, you use the mind that I should not do this sin. So you are using. On the second stage, it is more specific, more specialized training. Otherwise, the purification of the heart and mind begins at the first stage as well. Because when a person is not corrupting, like the Shaykh of Tariqa Muhammadiyya, Shazaliya, Ibn Taula Sikandari Rahmatullahi said here in his book of the Tariqa, he said, how strange it is that you seek to restore your heart while your organs partake as they please of forbidden things, such as unlawful gazes, backbiting, sowing dissension in others, and other sins. In this regard, you are like a person who takes poison for medicine, or one who wants to clean his cloth with urine. How will he clean his cloth? Meaning that you are protecting the organs to protect, or you may say purify heart and mind, because from there actually the mind is fed. You see, mind by itself do not have many thoughts. If it cannot process the information from ears and eyes, and that's where the mind gets information from to think about. Imagine if a person is born, he can't see, he can't hear, he can't speak, he has no feet, no private part, no leg, no stomach, only mind. How his mind be corrupted? So these are like every country understands the borders to protect the capital city, for example London here, it will be necessary to guard the borders. And you can say to the army, why are you wasting time here, there is only desert here or only trees here, you should be protecting the city of London. Why you are protecting borders like in India, Pakistan, all countries, sometimes on the borders it's only desert, it's only trees, but you see there's a borderline, there's a fierce army there, they have radar system and the planes are also going and guarding the boundary. Why? Because these borders are like your organs. Your organs of the body, they are your borders. Heart is the capital, the mind is the capital, or actually the cities of protection. So in order to protect the capital, you need to guard the borders. If you don't guard the borders, before you know, the enemy will be in London city. Then how will you fight? Then how difficult it will be to put a defense there, for example. So the guarding the border. So your organs are inroads, gateways to your heart. They need to be protected. Like you put in computers, what do you put there? For example, viruses come. So wherever the virus come from is like a border, like an organ of the computer. And you put an antivirus that it stops from there. That's not wisdom, that let the virus come in and then I will use antivirus to flush it out. This is meaning this is not the wise approach, because then it is more difficult. If this virus is infected, etc., etc., the computer is infected, you might not be able to fix it, you might now have to take it to a specialist person, etc., etc. And then this is the wisdom is use a preventive antivirus that does not let in the virus first. That is the easiest thing. Similarly, in disease as well, what do people say? When even they cannot protect and they see some disease is going on, they're putting on their mouths, we don't get infection, this person have this, or like the swine flu came. Now the doctors even said there's no protection with those masks, but you see hundreds of people using masks. And you say to them, well, why are you actually putting the mask or protecting your nose and thing? Let the virus go in and then see, we'll cure it. You know, you should be concerned about your body and heart, you know, what does it use to... But you see, in disease part as well, they say wash your hands carefully, clean your mouth, wash your hands, organs, private parts, carefully, because they actually form disease. So this is the idea, meaning that why, because many people could not figure, they simply say purification of the heart, let's actually go purify the heart. How can you directly approach the heart? You can't actually do surgery and get the illnesses out. And it won't get out unless you stop the filth coming from outside. Let's say we have a temperature here, for example, in the room, and we have put heat on, we want it actually a certain heat level in the winter time, for example, but the windows are open, the doors are open, so, and you put heater full on, the room is not going to become warm. And someone says to you, you know, it doesn't matter about windows, just actually increase the temperature of the heater, no matter how much you increase, it's going to go out. So similarly, these seven organs are the inroads and also are the windows, also are the borders of your capital city, which is the heart, and also your army city, which is the mind. So that's what Sayyidina Ahmad ibn Tawla Sikandari Rahmatullah alayhi is saying, that you won't be able to do. So you have to protect the organs. And by protecting the organs, you are protecting the heart and mind. Those people who have heart problem, what do doctors say to them? They say to them, don't eat fat, meaning their organs. They are referring to their organs. Exercise with your body. They are referring to organs. Otherwise the person might say, you know, doctor, Mr. Doctor, I want my heart fixed. You are saying exercise with your legs and feet. You know, what is the use of that? You are saying don't eat fatty foods. Food goes into my stomach, not to my heart. You know, why should I avoid that? No, this affects you. Like the brother, the other day was saying that the puncture, he was explaining about that you, if you have a heart problem, you actually massage here in the Chinese medicine. If you have lung problem, you massage here. Outwardly, sometimes the effects are not seen. But anyone who comes healthy, you know, physically from fat and everything, they control their organs, eat less, exercise more, then the heart becomes healthy. Then protect the heart as well. So similarly, the heart, the spiritual heart is also going to become healthy. The mind is going to become healthy when you are going to protect the organs. Because to keep, another example I'll give, because people keep asking this question, and they should rely upon the wisdom of the mashayikh of great awliya and the wisdom of the Quran, how they have. Because I can give you many, many examples going explaining that it is foolishness to do otherwise, to go directly to the purification of the heart, to directly to the purification of the mind. That person will not be able to do anything. That's what you do in your house as well. You close door, put locks, those are those, no hooligan and thief comes, and you put alarm and close the door. The door is the organ. The heart and mind is your bedroom and sitting your. And someone says, you know, really you need to protect your bedroom. There's no use closing the outside door. No use for the lock. That's not wisdom. Or is that wisdom, you let the thief in and then fight with him? That is the best thing is that you don't let him in. If he comes, then obviously then they are different matters. But if you yourself has opened the door, say, yeah, I am going to treat him when he comes in. Let the windows be open, the door, I don't need any alarm. I don't need to protect. Someone says, why you are closing the door? It's wooden door, it's a glass window, you know, you need to protect your bedroom, really. But protecting the bedroom and the safe in the bedroom where mine and your life is, or the money where is, you need to protect the windows and door and alarm, you see. They are like the organs of the house. That's how we do it in everyday life, medically, physically, and for spiritually it is same as well. I don't know why we go opposite on this side. Because that shows that how immature our thinking is. How then we are going to fight Shaitan? When we use our thinking, he is going to become successful. And he also, well, it will be a long story, I won't mention. We go back to that, the thought process. As I said, there is a process of thought, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's sequence. If you interrupt it there, let's say a person who is addicted to pornography, for example, or looking at women or listening to sound, as soon as that thought appears in the first instance, its attractiveness or a vision or actually visualization, something, there is the part where you should, as I mentioned yesterday, the route which leads to the righteous salvation from sin. If you look at the screen, there you seek refuge in Allah and use your willpower. Willpower, where did the willpower come from? Willpower came from, you've done the purification of 7 organs, so you have developed your willpower now 7 times more. So it's strong now, you can suppress the thoughts. And the other methodology of treating the bad thoughts is, the mashayikh say, it is a science or art of called redirection. Redirection means that when you any bad thought come, start thinking of something lawful, anything lawful. It doesn't have to be pious. If you like cars, start thinking about cars. If you like, for example, cat stars, you can think about cats. It's better than thinking of sin. Because this is going to block that thought. Because the mind has only one screen, only one thing can be displayed upon it. It's like the TV screen, only one thing at one time. So firstly, the thought of the sin is displaying on the screen, and now you have actually replaced it with a lawful thought of food, of for example, anything lawful, be it worldly, be it akhirah, be it dunya. This is rather the best way to control bad thoughts. Firstly, to disregard. Second is to redirect, meaning that you just actually start thinking about something else, and it automatically it will go away, because it will be like you have a channel on which is wrong scenes, films are being shown, unlawful films, but the screen is in front of you. It's more harder to keep away, because now and then your eyes will be there. The easiest way is to change the channel, to redirect the channel to something else, put on a religious channel, it's gone now. So now you have to do less effort to stop from the sin, and more effort to do the sin, because you have to go first and change the channel and then watch. First situation was that it was already there. So redirecting, don't be caught in the word, it only means think of something else. Think of an alternative. Start thinking about your business, about dunya, about your wife, about your children, about your career, about anything or whatsoever. This actually also is one of the methodology the Sufia they use. So we were about here seeking refuge in Allah and using our willpower. So what will happen when you do? Can you see this circle? This circle refers to that you are protecting your mind from the evil thought. So, but it is weak. It will come again. So we say, again the evil whisper from nafs and shaitan, and again the person uses the same technique of seeking refuge in Allah Almighty and crushing it with one's willpower, disregarding it and redirecting it. So these are different techniques. How you crush, meaning not actually with anything you can crush the thought, meaning you use your willpower to redirect it or ignore simply blank of, but better than the blank mind is the thought of a lawful thing, because your mind is engaged then. So what will happen again? Again you use the same power. This circle of protection, this shield, your mind is being trained now. The evil whisper enters the mind, but it is crushed straight away. What will happen then? Once a person trains themselves in using this technique again and again and again, every day for 30 days at least, like we, I'll show you on the seat, for 30 days he does this, slowly he starts to develop a shield to protect their mind from being corrupted with evil thoughts. Slowly, slowly the mind become trained. Now you don't fight the war. You let the mind fight your war with the waswasa. So the mind itself become in the habit. It becomes habitual for him to actually reject the waswasa. So now you have a soldier who is working for you. Firstly, the mind was the soldier of shaitan. Firstly, the mind was soldier of shaitan, because the mind was bringing bad thoughts in you and mind was entertaining them. Why? Because month after month, year after year, you've been training your mind to accept evil, to plan evil, to fantasize evil, to think evil. When you've been doing for years and years, so it has become trained. It has become the tool of shaitan that it actually disturbs you, meaning although you don't want to do bad thing, but the mind is accepting and directing and actually pressurizing you. But now you are using the same weapon against shaitan. It's like an enemy soldier, who enemy sends a soldier, a commando to you, and you actually change him from yours. He changes sides and he becomes soldier of your army, and you send them back. That's how it is happening. So what's happening? The mind develops this habit. So slowly, when you do it 30 days continuously or more, the habit is becoming that when these vasvasa, you see these red things are coming, the mind opposite instantly is rejecting them by itself. Because you are trained now actually. It's not entertaining. Like firstly it was rejecting the good thoughts. Prior to purification, it was rejecting good thoughts. As they were coming, oh, it's okay, I'll do them later. Another good thought comes, oh, I'll repent after when I'm 60 years. Another good thought comes, oh, it's okay, no use doing good thing because I'm not doing all the other bad things. You see, the mind was trained to reject good thoughts. Now it has become opposite, that it's actually rejecting the bad thoughts. So what will happen again in the next stage? Evil whisper is coming, the mind shield is weak, but it's building. So in the next, what will happen is, the protective shield is further strengthened, and now being trained not even to think about sin, but to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the deen. So now what's happening, the protective shield is strengthened, free from any evil thoughts, and mind in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in. You see, mind have so much power, as you seen that those brothers were mentioning dreams and vision. If they focus and they have the right path, the right direction, right methodology, the mind have so powerful that it can actually affect the spirit and it can make you visualize the good thing. Like many people can't, they are in the, everyone is in the maratabah, as I say. Everybody is in meditation, but some people are in meditation of women or men or money. That's why they, even non-Muslim, they also say to you, visualize, think you are a billionaire. You don't become billionaire like this, but actually they say that it is, you know, it affects you. You visualize, at least you'll be motivated or anything like this. But if you can use the same weapon, the same, for example, the mind, for actually on the other side, it will really work wonders for you. It will open the doors of the spiritual world, and your imagination can, everything starts with imagination. A person who built the largest structure on the face of the earth, it came with imagination, and then imagination came into planning, then planning came into everything. So imagination is very powerful. It's very, very powerful thing. Meaning it can, but when you are visualizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or thinking about Akhirah, thinking about death, thinking about Quran and Jannah, contemplating about Jannah. What is contemplation? Contemplation means the thought which has sequence. It's not ad hoc thought. Contemplation, reflection, meaning there is a sequence you are following. There is firstly this, then this, then this. You are thinking about death, the Akhirah, Hashar, Jannah, and your visualization of Jannah, etc., etc. And that immensely motivates you and keeps you fresh to the flame to do good deeds, and energetic spiritually to do good deeds. So the mind is constantly in the remembrance of Allah the Almighty. Now good thoughts are developed in the mind, in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how we do this? We use this sheet to train the mind, which has about 10 levels, or initially there are 8, but there are 2 more as well. Level 1, 2, 3. How do we train the mind? Look at this. For example, the first, we give the person this task only, not to think anything against Sharia, not to think evil, plan evils or sin. Don't entertain it. That is the best thing you are preventing. So example, trying not to think about a sin intentionally, thought process, etc. Intentionally. Unintentional thought, they come in you, they don't harm you if you don't fertilize them. Like if the, as I said, if the, in the womb of the mother is not fertilized, the egg and the sperm, and then nothing happens. Similarly in your mind, if there is no fertilization, that is not harmful for you. So a person will do this for 30 days using this sheet. He will fail few times, come again, but eventually he will. After he has done that, now he develops the at the level 2, he trains his mind to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even through worldly activities. Even work will remind him of Allah, even shopping will remind him from Allah, of Allah, even business will remind him of Allah. This is such technique. If you use the second level, that worldly activities remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person is heedless, even prayer and salah is not reminding you of Allah. And when you are trained like this in the second level of the purification of the mind, even worldly activities, worldly things, pleasures, other things, money, anything, any activity, your work, your business, your eating, drinking, socialization, any activity will remind you of Allah when you are trained in this. How it is done, I mean, there's this bit of detail to that, but very briefly I'll mention to you. That person is told that harm and benefit Allah owns alone. He creates the harm and benefit. It belongs to Allah. He wants, he causes harm to you through certain activity. He wants to benefit, he will benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of means. For example, that's what he showed Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. What he showed to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam? He said, what is in your right hand? Ma tilka bi yameenika ya Musa. Musa alayhi salam said, qala hiya asai. This is my staff. This is my stick. This is a wooden stick. Atawakkau alayha. I lean on it. وَهُشُّ بِهَلَا غَنَمِي. And I get together the leaves. وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَعَارِبُ أُخْرَى. And many other benefits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, if you lean on this benefits you, I want you to lean and have tawakkal on me now, not on the stick. Because first thing which Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, atawakkau alayhi, that I lean on it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, from now on you won't lean on the stick, you will lean on my power now. So he said, throw it. Alqi asa. And it went and it changed into a big serpent. Even Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam stepped away from it by the natural inclination. Because there is a level of mind in you which is not in your control, which are instincts. There is a part of your brain which just reacts instantly. It takes control over you in the state of danger, something coming at your eyes instantly, shock, anything, harm, it then overtakes you. The logical brain is overtaken by this part of brain which then is self-active. It is under how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. So that's when you see people scream when they see something. They don't want to scream, or they don't want to be scared or anything, etc. There's many effects in the person's body are just instantly, because this is that part Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, a part of brain which is not under your control, which controls you, which, for example, is that part which controls the temperature of the heartbeat, the temperature of the body, the running of lungs. If it was left to you, then what will you say? One person is suffering, oh, he forgot to activate his lungs, oh, he forgot to activate his heart, oh, he forgot, he actually set wrong temperature of his body and circulation. Person will paralyze completely, not to do, he won't be able to do anything. All these things, systems are running, is because that part of the brain, without your thoughts, without your interference, even if you are sleeping, is controlling many, many things of your organs, many systems going on, the vitamins are having, food is being digested, and intestines, and all the system, the blood circulation, the temperature, the gland which is there here, which controls the food and what type of food actually goes into your body, etc., etc. All these things, hearing and actually, this is a part of brain which is not, Allah Subhanahu has not given you under control, your control. Otherwise, you won't be able to do anything else in the. You'll be just sitting and saying, yes, my lungs should do this, and do this, do this, do this, and there your life will finish. So it's a blessing of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that He gives you respite. He's not given you that responsibility so that you can focus on your true mission, your true purpose and the pleasure. But me and you are taking advantage, wrong advantage of the mercy and the facilitation and the compassion of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And when we become free, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, Kalla, I give blessing to the person. Kalla inna al-insana la yatgha ar-ra'ahu istaghna. That when we give him health and freedom and money, first thing what he does is, most of human beings, they become rebellious to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. I have nothing to do, let's actually do something sin, some weird thing comes from their mind. We have money, things, that's why these people are blessing of siha, of ni'mah, of health and things. When they flee totally, they think of evil. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, it is strange that I give them, and then the first thing is that they turn against me. It is strange. Kalla inna insana liyatagha arra'ahu istaghna. When he sees himself, meaning self-sufficient. And he says that the problem is, he shouldn't, because inna ila rabbika ruj'a. You are going to return to your Lord. You are not going to be here forever. So don't abuse the blessing of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Rather become thankful. That's why awliya Allah and Salihin, they were very thankful. They were of small blessings and always thinking about the blessings of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So much so that Imam Abdul Wahhab Sha'rani, one of the Shaziri Mashaykh, he wrote 600 page book. Just the blessing which Allah Subhanahu has given him. Allah has given me ears and I used to hear with them, eyes. Allah has given me deen. He just written his name, a blessing. Because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said, one of the way to thank is, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثِ, that express my blessings to others that Allah has favored you with. So he wrote it in a book, 600 page it came, of his blessing which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given him. So you and me, one or two complain we have, oh, my heart is not well, I have stomach problem, I have ear problem, my problem. Oh, the blessing never mentioned. And I, very seldom then someone comes to me, for example, and say, Alhamdulillah, you know, my body is working well, my heart is this, etc. Thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But most people, they think from the other side, always what they don't have, rather than what they have. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given this blessing as well to you. There's a part of brain which is controlling you instinctively and protecting your organs. And when you are in danger, you react immediately. Let's say someone throws something at your eyes. Without your instruction, the eyes will close. It's that part of the brain which is now controlling. You see? So this is the matter. So what we do in the level 2, you may say, how you develop your relationship through worldly things with Allah. Aap sochenge ke mere karobar, dunia, bhi maamlaat ke zariye Allah se taalluq kaise paida ho sakta hai. Bas ye tarika seekh le, aapko aa jayega. How it happens is, the mashayikh say, train the person, they say, harm and benefit, like I was giving you example of Sayyidina Musa al-Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shown Hazrat Musa al-Islam, you are saying benefit is coming, look, now it is the serpent, harm is coming from there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, touch it again, and again it is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's shown that I am not in need of anything, I can turn a harmful thing beneficial for you, beneficial harmful for you. And water, which is the source of life, Many people die because of water. The air, which is source of life, many people are killed. Many nations were killed with the power of air and water. Many people drown. ये जो जहाज पे लोग जा रहे होते हैं, they are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withdraws His help, बस कुछ ना कुछ हो जाता है फिर. No one can actually save you as such. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيَّمْ سَسْقَ اللَّهُ بِذُرِّنْ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ. If Allah is subhanahu wa ta'ala wills harm for you, harm to strike you, فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ, no one can then actually relieve you from that. وَإِن يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. And if He wills goodness, there is no power in the creation who can take you, deprive you of goodness. When He wants to give you something, shaitan, anyone cannot actually take away. But you have to actually prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that yes, you are His. So Allah will then give. So harm and benefit in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He controls. So in every activity, worldly, eating, shopping, business, going out, working, cooking, cleaning, in every activity there is a possibility of harm and there is a possibility of benefit. In every activity, you go out shopping, instead of shopping you might be lying on the road with accident. Or someone might smack you or stab you, so many things can happen. You are cooking, you might burn the house. There is possibility of benefit as well and harm in everything. You are taking medicine, you might take the wrong one or it might have the other effect. So what you should do in this level, I am just explaining very briefly so that at least you have an idea. Before every activity, lawful, business, you are going to business, you are going out, you are driving, whatever you are going to begin, before that activity, just with the heart, not with the tongue, you don't have to use even tongue, just with the heart, pray to Allah, oh Allah, give me the benefit of this thing and save me from the harm of this thing. What is the benefit of that then? Meaning that you are connected to Allah, but because you are prayed to Allah, you, for doing that worldly activity, you are automatically connected to Allah first in the beginning. Because you have prayed to Him, you have done a dua to Him. Similarly, a letter comes in the post, you can say, oh Allah, be it good for me, if there is any dangerous one which is coming, help me. If someone is swearing at you, you can divert your attention to Allah, give him hadaya and give me patience. If anyone is giving you hard time, you can ask Allah, save me from the evil of this person, save me him from the evil. So you, your heart and you communicate with Allah for every worldly activity. You are gone on driving, Allah save me from the sins which we people do at that time, and don't let anyone misbehave towards me. Any activity what you have, you can throw any activity and that is transferred into remembrance of Allah. Ek to hai ke namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, salah, that reminds you of Allah. The only Allah has given such a method that even worldly things remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one benefit of that is that you remember Allah. Second benefit is that more barakah start coming in your activities, because it is that you are doing dua to Allah for other activity. So ye second level hai. This is the second purification. So you do that as well 30 days. Then you, there is a methodology how to think abstract. Abstract, what does abstract thought mean? Abstract means thought about something non-physical. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not physical. So it is the hadur of Allah, the presence of Allah which you bring in you more constantly. And you do it, there is a methodology how to do that, inshallah, but we can not go in detail. Then when you develop the presence of Allah in the level 4, you give that presence of Allah wording, a clothing of the prophetic azkar of eating and drinking. You already have the presence of Allah. Now you actually give the clothing as well. The presence of Allah amongst awliya Allah is so strong, Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani rahmahullah mentioned this as a blessing. He said, I thank Allah that the hudur of Allah I have in salah, the hudur, the presence of Allah, I have so strong presence of Allah. He said, I have in salah, the same presence of Allah I have when I am sleeping with my wife. In that state, my presence of Allah is same level. He said, only then a person becomes actually a true wali, when his life actually is overtaken by the hudur and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let aside forgetting in other activities, imagine how would they forget Allah in other activities when they are not forgetting at that time, in which even the psychologists and the scientists say that when a person is in sexual activity, his mind gets blocked from all things actually. He's only in the, if there is a point that you are actually indulgent player, that everything is blocked. That's why ghusl becomes farz as well, Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Dabbagh says. It's not only because of the release of semen, that is the physical reason. He said the spiritual reason is that the person has become disconnected with Allah. Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Dabbagh ne farmaya, jo ghusl farz hota hai, uski asal wajah ki jo ghaflat tari hoti hai us waqt, ke insaan bilkul Allah ko bhool jata hai, to usse ek zulmat داخل ہوتی ہے بندے میں, تو وہ صرف فرض ہے. لیکن اس کا باہر کا سبب تو وہ اس مادے کا نکلنا, منی کا نکلنا, شہوت کا ہونا, وہ ہوتا ہے. لیکن روحانی سبب فرماتے ہیں کہ وہ ہے. سو اف دیٹ از دی بس دی برین سائنٹسٹ سیل کر سچ پوائنٹ ان دیٹ یو فورگیٹ ایوری تھنگ بٹ دا اولیاء اللہ آر ایون ٹو مینٹین دا پریزنس آف اللہ ایٹ دیٹ ٹائم, یو کین امیجن اباؤٹ دیم وٹ ٹائپ آف مینٹلٹی دے آر. اور ہماری کیا حالت ہے کہ ساری اور اسٹیٹ از کمنگ آؤٹ آف دا ورلڈ اسٹینڈنگ ان فرنٹ آف اللہ اینڈ فورگیٹ فل آف اللہ. وہ صحبت میں ڈیورنگ سیکسل ایکٹیویٹی, لو فل ایکٹیویٹی میں بھی اللہ کی پریزنس, دے آر ان دا سیم پریزنس, اینڈ وی آر وین وی آر اسٹینڈنگ ان دا کورٹ آف اللہ, ہاؤس آف اللہ, وی آر ایبسنٹ. سو اف یو ہیو دس پرابلم دین ایز اے سیڈ دیٹ دیر از this is the mind purification further takes you on that level. And the 10 spiritual levels of prayer, if you have not learned them, at least start them. For example, after when we finish their 10, at least your prayer can start bringing presence in them. So I don't want to scare you. I'm not only mentioning the problem, I'm also giving you the solution. There is a solution for these things as well. Because sometimes it is only condemning people, or you are doing rubbish, you are sinning, or you are doing that, you shouldn't be doing this, but no solution is presented. All this is just the people feel guilty. But the Mashayikh says that we do not want to condemn people, we just create concern in them and present solution to them that solve your problem. Here is the medicine. So you are there. So similarly, the level 4 is the masnoon, as meaning the prophetic supplication of different activities, because you already have the presence haduri of Allah. Now you have, then there is level 5, then 6, then 7, then 8. So we cannot go in detail, but inshallah you can, if you go through the halaqah, you will find, you can imagine how closer you can get to Allah azza wa jalla. And after level 8 there is a level 9 and 10. In level 10 you achieve the presence of Allah, as Imam Abdul Wahhab Sharani rahmahullah said, that all the time automatically, no matter what's happening, it's as though you are living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never leaves you. Your mind becomes so much clean. Like now, the thought of dunya and women never leaves us. The money, we are in the maraqba and the presence of dunya. We are in the presence, but the presence of the wrong things. We are present with shaitan and things. So we finish here now today, then inshallah tomorrow we will start the third stage of purification and the example of the plane. Now we finish here. If you want to mention anything, ask anything regarding this, you can. Alhamdulillah.
Anybody wants to ask a question, please raise their hand. The piece related to today's topic. about the heart. Does a person have just one heart, or do we have more than one heart? And the reason I ask that is we have the physical heart, but then we also quite often talk about the spiritual heart. So can you give us some explanation on that?
The center of discussion of deen and religion, when they speak about the heart, sometimes they are speaking about the meaning the faculties of thinking and planning. So mind and heart, because they communicate as well between, they are together, meaning. So it is the center of thinking, center of planning, center of sentiments. That's what we are referring to in deen, not the physical heart. Although the place of the spiritual heart is in the physical heart, but it's not, this is like a shell for it. It's like, for example, you have a brain, but the mind is there. So someone says, do we have two minds? Because there is, I can see brain, and there is also mind. So you will say to them, brain is the only some chemicals and proteins, meaning it's a flesh, but the mind sits there, meaning in the spiritually, but they are like both of a body and spirit. So exactly, you may say, understand the brain. You see, you can take a brain out of the person, but it is physical. You can't see the thoughts, you can't see other things, but they are, this is the physical. But the seat of the mind, planning, thinking, information, memory is there somewhere, but it's in a more microscopic or in the lower world, which we don't have access as yet to it. Similarly, the case with the heart as well. There is a physical, there is pumping blood and doing all these things. Then it's the seat of a spiritual entity like the mind. So, which actually also affects. So yes, we only have one heart really. These are the two, for example, forms. One is the outer shell. It's like saying, this is a person. Are there two people? These human beings are two people, because there is a spirit and there is a body. But you say the body is just the covering of the same person. It is the body is the seat of the spirit, but it is one person, one human being. So one mind, although the brain is the outer covering of it. So one heart. Is the heart is the covering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ma ja'alallahu." Allah has not made anyone with two hearts in their chest. So Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally said, "No two hearts in any person." These spiritual heart, physically maybe someone can have another heart as well. That's not a matter. So that's why Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmahullah said regarding this verse and the Mashayikh, they say when you have one heart, either you can have love of Allah or the love of Shaitan there. Love of goodness and love of Akhirah or love of Dunya, because you only have one heart. You have to choose between your love and love.
My question is regarding the Muslim Iskar. Is the words of the Muslim Iskar only beneficial for the person reciting it, or is it also beneficial for the ears listening to it?
Really, the prophetic Iskar, Muslim Iskar means Sunnah Duas. The Duas, the supplication of Sunnah, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, or how he remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are asking that do we have to hear or no? For masnoon azkar, two things are important. One is recitation of them, and secondly is having the presence of Allah whilst doing them. Because if any dua which you do, which you don't have presence of heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept it. So presence of heart, Allah is listening, watching, I am praying to Allah. And recitation. Hearing is not necessary. You can read them silently. But these two things are important. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Focusing on silly person, I'm just trying to talk about the mind that the involved reactions of the mind. Just trying to understand the link between the mind and the soul. Because this is training the mind to develop the soul. And so like when you think about people with sort of dyslexia, they're wiring different. People have certain tumors, the part of their mind develops and they start to have certain more powerful insight or deeper thinking than the artistic or even in what is possibly spiritual.
You see, the mind is the such thing that the spirit is an invisible thing. No instrument can actually comprehend or judge or check the ruh and the spirit really. But the mind is one of the rays of that spirit. Meaning it is one of the offshoots of the soul power. Meaning, let's say you imagine about the arsh, you go to the arsh, you imagine about Kaaba, you go, this is one of the millionth part power of the soul, the spirit. So that's why, because it is like a ray from the spirit, so you can enter the spiritual world through it. That's why through imagination and things, eventually a person can get access to the spirit. So the mind is the only, and the thought process is the window, or you may say the door to that spiritual world, but it is an offshoot. Similarly, this eyes, it's actually the spiritual power, the spirit which is seeing, not the physical eyes really. Have you ever imagined? The physical eye is not really seeing, it is the spirit really which is seeing. Because with the physical eye, what's happening is, it's like signals, like the in the TV screen, the satellite signals come, signals of light are coming into the eye, the eye is processing, and then signals are again, so the images become signals, and the signals again become images when they reach the mind. So there's a screen in the mind in which those signals actually, like a laser gun, they actually create an image. But who is the seer of that image? Who is the watcher of the image? The mind cannot watch itself. So it is the spirit, the ruh, which is watching really. But through the agency of so the Sayyidina Abdulaziz Dabbagh Rahmullah used to say that the basira, the spiritual insight, this sight is millionth and millionth and millionth part of that, with the insight which it has. So that is why when you see with the spiritual insight, the doors, the, for example, the walls, the seas, nothing is a barrier. It just actually goes wherever it wants, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits it, to the heaven, to the arsh, to the jannah, in the insight. And this has limitations. So this is the watered down version of that spiritual insight. So try to understand, the soul is the seer, the ruh is the seer, not the eyes, not the brain. Brain can't see. Brain is just it's like a TV. For example, the messages or the signal, electrical signals are coming of the image on the gun on the screen, but the TV cannot watch itself. The screen cannot watch itself. The seer would be outside. You and me are the watcher and the seer. So that's how it is actually with the mind as well. Mind is an offshoot. It has a relationship with spirit. Similarly, the sight has as well. Similarly, the hearing. So it is as well. Because the ruh is in every part of the body, not only in the mind, not in the heart, not on ears, eyes, every part. So the brain, the mind, it has a connection as well with it.
More questions to yourself, I would like to ask a question, this is a question again. And what is healing allowed to blame to a time for their own wrongdoing? Sometimes we are down the streets and sometimes also places, certain places. You know, I
lives and mixed with all walks of life. Sometimes being angry, the mom and dad suffer, like all the kids, through Shatan, Dapa Hojan, like Nazi or Shatan or whatever, you know. But I'm going to listen to mom and dad as the most precious gift in the world to the kids, to the children. Does that mean that person is Shatan, or I mean, do you need an explanation?
Shaitan, you see, like I mentioned yesterday, can be blamed for one thing but cannot be blamed for another thing. He can be blamed for giving dawah, giving invitation, putting thoughts, leading you astray, encouraging you. Yes, he is blamed, but that's why he is sinful. That is why he is sinful, that is why he is Shaitan, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish him. So he has that role to play, to send thoughts and waswasa and encourage and create situations and magnify situations for you, make the good deeds very heavier, make the bad deets very attractive, etc., etc., things like this. So he is blameworthy for that. But because the acceptor or rejecter of his invitation is you, so you are ultimate responsible. But he has a past responsibility as well by actually encouraging. Similarly, those people who encourage you towards goodness, they also have a part. They also get reward. Like Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that ad-dallu alal khair, that a person who encourages some good, kafa'ili, he is like the doer as well in a way, meaning he gets a reward as well. But obviously, you are the ultimate decision maker. You accept or reject the invitation. So partially he is to blame, and then partially we are to blame for accepting his. But as far as we are concerned, 100% we are to blame, because we have the full power to either reject or accept his invitation. We are here, inshallah. أستغفر الله العظيم So try to, inshallah, practice these things, and also try to learn the path, so that you are not ending up after itikaf. If you don't take the path or methodology, then you will be facing same situation, same. And if you don't have any kind of path, if you already have, then be steadfast on that. If you don't, then in these days, tell the brothers and do a short initiation session. And start your journey. That is the inshallah thing which is going to benefit you. Otherwise, this is information only. This is dawah only. This is only invitation. So, yeah. Theek hai, jazakallah. If there is nothing else. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiru wa natubu ilayk. Astaghfirullah.